The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It's time for the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Let's get to it.
All right, everybody, live once again from the city of brotherly love. Come on now, no other than Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're broadcasting from and hanging out in the WWDB 860 AM studios. You already know what's going on. Yes, you've heard right. You've turned yourself into another episode of the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P. and Ev. Woo, come on. Good evening, Philadelphia, Bucks County, Montgomery County, Delco, Southwest New Jersey. But folks, understand this. We don't stop there. No, we do not. We're entering eardrums anywhere that you've got access to the internet. So come on, it's the 21st century. Get yourself an iPhone, get yourself an Android, get yourself on the internet and listen to us because we are talking about some big things today. Woo, all right. So for anybody who's unfamiliar, my name is Scott Prendergast, aka Scotty P. And I am one of the hosts on our show today, the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev. And my co-host Ev, aka Evan Transu, he is busy today with some other things with work, so he will not be here. But Ev, we miss you and we're looking forward to having you back soon. So everybody, like I said, my name is Scotty P, Scott Prendergast, whatever you want to call me. And I'm a professional inspirational speaker who helps other people navigate life through the lens of hope. That's my MO. That's what I do. That's why I got into this industry, is to help other people find that little bit of hope, a little bit of light, a little bit of peace in their life and find out the work and strategies that they need to work on to move through it. So today we're really excited on this Friday. As always, we're out here, we're getting things done. It's Friday, it's almost the weekend. Come on, you're gonna do your thing this weekend. Let's go. All right. Now, but before we get to all that fun stuff, we want to make sure that we start our weekend on a positive note. And we start our weekend making sure that we're paying attention to our mental health. Because let's be honest, on the weekends, a lot of different things happen. You maybe see family, you see friends, you're in different situations, you're out of your routine of the week. So you got a lot of stuff going on that's different, right? And when we have a lot of different things that maybe we're not used to, we can be susceptible to, you know, some different attacks of the mind in a variety of different ways, right? So we want to make sure we're paying attention to our mental health, we're acknowledging it, and that's what we do on the show. We're talking about it. We're talking about mental health through hosts such as myself who have lived it, who are in this industry, who do this every single day for their living. So really want to thank you all so much again for joining us today. We really appreciate it. Now, we've got a couple fun things about this episode today. So we have a call-in guest, which I will introduce shortly, and we're going to have a great time. So I'm going to be asking her questions. She's a licensed therapist, but again, I'll introduce her more productively in a moment or two, and we're really going to ask her some great questions. We're going to get some good feedback. And so for you, the listener, I'm excited for this episode because not only do you have me bringing stuff like I usually do to the show, but we've also got a therapist to give you a different perspective on some types of things, right? And to let everybody know that, hey, you know what? Help is available. Help is here. And you can recover from whatever it is that you're struggling with when it comes to our mental health, all right? So we're all really, 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 really excited today. So with that being said, I'm going to introduce our guest real quick here, and she will be with us shortly. So her name is Bryn Sisipio. Now, Bryn Sisipio is a licensed therapist, a formal parole officer, and a dedicated business owner. Her practice's motto, "Do the Work," speaks directly to the belief that valuable change requires hard work. Amen to that, Bryn. Bryn and her team are committed to supporting every individual couple and family in achieving their therapeutic goals. Each therapist brings their own niche to the practice, allowing them to support as many adults and children as possible. So, Bryn, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. How are you feeling today? What's going on?
I'm feeling good. I'm excited. It's Friday. Thank you for having me here. I'm looking forward to a relaxing 3-day weekend for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot. See, I've been out of school too long that I forgot that it's good old President's Day coming up. So I'm totally thrown for a loop. I don't know what's going on out here. So thank you for the reminder. We appreciate that. That's good stuff. Now, Bryn, I just gave everybody a little bit of background on yourself, kind of what you do, your practice, your goals. Now, one of the things I want to dive into this real quick here that I absolutely loved when you sent me this, your practice's motto is do the work. And I absolutely love that because I'm a big proponent of, yes, look, we can overcome anxiety. We can overcome depression, OCD, PTSD, bipolar, whatever it is. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some energy. And it's going to take a lot of work. So could you expand on kind of what your belief is on that and why you've really chose that to be your practice's motto?
Yes, absolutely. Therapy is hard work. It sometimes does not feel comfortable. You may leave a therapy session feeling exhausted. You will probably leave a therapy session with homework that you're to do outside of it. Just because time has gone by, just because the sun has gone around the earth for another period, does not mean that change automatically happens. While sometimes the intensity of certain experiences may decrease with time, it doesn't necessarily equate to healing. So I have clients that come into the practice and they'll say to me things like, but I'm X amount of years old, why is this still bothering me? Or this happened so long ago, it shouldn't have any relevancy in my life anymore. And my response to them is, well, what have you done over that period of time? How have you actively engaged in changing this relationship or changing your understanding of this event or these people or healing from this very painful experience? How have you created an environment that's really healthy and supportive of you? It requires an incredible amount of work. And sometimes that work is also looking at things within ourselves that maybe aren't so pleasant. That's really hard to do. So all of that combined, boil it down, do the work.
Absolutely. I'm such a big proponent of that because one of the things that I know that we're trying to get people to understand is that we finally have come to a place where it seems like people are willing to talk about mental health. They're willing to acknowledge it. They're willing to put it out there. And they may be even willing to go talk to someone professionally about it. But I find that where people are getting stuck is, okay, we're acknowledging mental health, but what's that next step? We got to put in work. We got to start finding strategies and practices and things that work for us. And it seems like we're having a little bit of a problem getting people to go from I'm acknowledging it, I'm talking about it, to now taking that more difficult step, which is, okay, I'm going to put in this work day in and day out. Even when it's not sexy, even when it's not pretty, even when it's not fun, even when I feel terrible, I'm still going to do it. I'm still going to put in the work. And that's why I'm so, so excited to have you on here because we're very much on the same mindset with that. So I love that. Now, one of the other things that I want to kind of bring up from your profile is a few things. So one, I know you told me before that you are the daughter of two Philadelphia police officers. Is that correct?
One. So my father was he's passed now, but he was a Philadelphia police officer. And my mother was a nurse right up the street from you, actually, at Lankenau Hospital.
Oh, wow. I knew that you mentioned that. So that is so cool to see that. And then that kind of brings it into the next part here. You were talking about how you are a former parole officer, which I think is such an interesting route for you to go from that to being a licensed therapist. So do you want to touch on that a little bit and talk about that?
Yes, absolutely. So my undergraduate degree was actually, my major, I should say, was in criminal justice. So shortly after graduating, I was hired with the probation and parole department, working with adults in that system. There's different units within the department, different things that you can do, different avenues. The particular team that I was on strictly handled cases or individuals who continued to break the rules and terms and conditions of their parole. So everyone that I was seeing was not in a good place, and it was constant execution of warrants, bringing people back in front of their judge, trying to figure out ways to mitigate their risk factors in their life. And as you can imagine, 85 to 90% of those individuals, I would say, definitely would qualify for a substance use disorder. And getting them support and getting them treatment was so challenging within that system. During my time at the probation and parole department, the drug court program became alive, which was, if you're not familiar with, the tagline for that is drug court saves lives, and they absolutely do. They take people out of jail and put them into long-term intensive treatment, and it's an absolutely beautiful program. But one of the things I was seeing was that I wanted to affect change on a root level, not just respond to people's behaviors. So while there's certainly a need for safety within the community, what really ends up happening is a revolving door, and that's not creating change, and that's certainly not creating change at the root level. So while I was working full-time, I went back to school at night. I think it took me something like 4 years to complete my master's degree because I could only take so many classes and work full-time. Mm-hmm. And that's what I ended up doing. And then I ended up actually working on a therapeutic side for the drug court program, and I was the clinical coordinator of that program for a couple of years before I went into private practice.
Oh, wow. What an incredible journey. Honestly, that is so cool to see the different stops that you made and where you started and where you're at now. And I'm sure you got so much further to go as well. But we've got about 2 minutes, about a minute and a half before we go to our first break. One of the things I want to ask you is, what was the correlation? I'm sure you had to see a big one between talking about parole and then substance abuse and mental health. That correlation had to be huge. What did you see with that?
What do you mean when you say talking about parole? Well, I think I know what you're saying. I mean, I would say, again, like 90% of the individuals that are in the criminal justice system would qualify for either a serious mental health concern or a substance use disorder. So it's pretty much hand in hand.
Yeah, that's really what I wanted to touch on here. Yeah. Just talking about that connection between, you know, substance abuse and being in and out of the prison system as well as mental health, and just talking about how it is so incredibly,
it's
I don't know
so
what the numbers are,
right?
But it's got to be
astronomical. I mean, I don't have the statistics, right? I don't have the statistics either, but I would say it's probably higher than we would ever imagine.
Yeah, that is really just, and that's something I think once we come back from the commercial break that we might be able to dive a little bit deeper into and talk about and see what your experience has been with that and how you've adapted your practices and what you do on the everyday, you know, side of things in your practice that really kind of cater towards that, and how you used what you've learned in your past to really create a business and a practice that's going to be beneficial for everybody, no matter what their background is. So we're going to be right back, everybody, after these quick commercial breaks, but stay tuned. We're here with Bryn Sicipio. We're having a good time out here. We're talking about some really important stuff with mental health. Now, everyone, come back after this. Listen to us. We got a lot of good stuff on lock. So see you in a moment.
Hey everyone, Eric Katz here, the owner of Katz Dogs Canine. Are you working from home and need to get your dog out running around for the day? Will you be traveling this summer and looking for a place to board your pup? Is your dog looking a little shaggy and need a haircut or bath? Are you looking forward to walking around and enjoying this beautiful weather, but you can't because your dog's pulling like a freight train? Well, you're in luck. We're a one-stop shop that focuses on daycare, boarding, grooming, and training. We're located at 35 Middle Road, Percocet, PA, on 10 beautiful acres. You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Katz Dogs Canine or our website, katzdogscanine.com. Our phone number is 855-CATS-DOG, 855-528-9364.
If you're a parent who wants to understand the mental health challenges your child faces, then my book, My Perfect Life, How Depression Almost Ended It and How I Found Purpose Through Pain, is for you. Through goofy, relatable stories, you'll see the world from the eyes of someone silently battling depression. Most importantly, you'll learn how we can find hope and purpose through pain. Get your copy of My Perfect Life today. Available on Amazon by searching Lucas Wolf, My Perfect Life. And that's Wolf with an E.
Tired of talk radio shows that are nothing but Trump, Trump, and more Trump? Looking for something that actually has some relevance to your life? Then tune into The Pennsylvania Project. Hi, I'm Ken Krawchuk, host of The Pennsylvania Project. Our mission is to showcase the political, cultural, and environmental challenges facing contemporary Pennsylvania, and we're all about solutions. So tune in Mondays, 3 p.m. here on WWDB, 860 a.m. in Philadelphia. When the problem is same old talk radio, the correct solution is The Pennsylvania Project.
Hey folks, what's going on? It's Evan Transu, aka Ev here. I just wanted to shout out my friends at FDN Thrive. Part of my story with mental health is that I was actually able to get a hold of a lot of my mental and physical health issues by addressing what was going on in my body. So I do mean more of a natural / functional medicine side. Is this going to be for everyone? Absolutely not. But if you're someone like me who suffered for years and maybe a lot of the conventional things didn't work out, you might want to consider what is going on in your body and see if that is playing any role. So if you want to focus on something more objective, get some lab results, and actually have these lab results analyzed by practitioners who are trained in this specific modality, then go to fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button. That's fdnthrive.com and click the Get Started Here button.
Let's go. Welcome back, everybody, to Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your boys Scotty P and Ev. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And you know that we're still coming off the Super Bowl. You know we had to play some of my man Marshall Slim Shady up in here. I'm Slim Shady. Yes, I'm the real Shady. All the other Slim Shadys are just imitating. My name is Scotty P, and I'm going to stop rapping because it's time to get to the show.
Don't quit your day job.
That's my producer. He's talking smack. He's in a band, so he can say that. He makes money playing a guitar, so he could definitely say that and get away with it. So, hello, everyone. Thanks again for joining us. You tuned in to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with Scotty P and Ev. We appreciate it. And today, we're excited. We have a wonderful guest here. Her name is Bryn Sicipio. And if you're just tuning in, I'll give you a little bit of quick background on Bryn. So Bryn is a licensed therapist, a former parole officer, and a dedicated business owner. And her practice's motto is do the work, speaks directly to her belief that valuable change requires hard work. So we're really excited to have Bryn today. If you're just tuning us, kind of give you a little bit of background on how we do the show. Part one, we just get into things, we toy with the ideas, we do some introductions, all that fun stuff. Now, part two, this is where we really dive a little bit deeper, where we start asking the questions that really matter. We start finding out some more information that's really relevant to you, the listener, as well as finding out more information about our guest and what they have to offer for the show today. So, Bryn, thank you so much again for being with us today. I really appreciate it. Now, one of the things that we want to kind of dive right into here is that when we're talking about mental health, being that you're in the space, for you, have you noticed that in the past, I guess we'll call it 2 years or so, given the pandemic, what are some of the biggest changes that you've noticed, maybe in your practice or in your everyday life, whatever it is, when dealing with mental health with the everyday person? What are the biggest changes that you see when people come to talk to you? What are they complaining about more than usual? What has been the biggest difference in the past 2 years when it comes to that word, mental health?
Especially during the last 2 years since the pandemic began, everything is magnified. So people who maybe felt a little bit anxious are now experiencing chronic panic attacks. People who maybe once in a while were imbibing more than they would like are now really struggling to not drink. Everything is magnified. And what was once natural deterrence for individuals, because of work from home for a lot of people, are no longer deterrents, and therefore a lot of the, if you want to envision a bowling lane, the bumpers of life have been removed and everyone's throwing gutter balls. So, for example, with individuals where alcohol may be a problem for them, perhaps prior to the pandemic, natural deterrents would be, well, I have to get up and drive into work tomorrow, or I have to give a big presentation, or I just want to look presentable, or I need to get good sleep, whatever the case may be. I'm traveling. Now it's, I don't have to see anybody. I only have to log into my email. I can click my camera off during Zoom meetings. No one needs to know that I am hungover, that I smell like alcohol from the night before, whatever the case may be. And that really allows them, or has really created an environment that unfortunately supports an overuse and sometimes an abuse of alcohol. So that's just one example, but normal experiences that feel unpleasant over the last 2 years have really been magnified, where they've gone from unpleasant to highly uncomfortable, detrimental, and often unbearable for individuals.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I know I've seen that with a lot of the people that I work with as well. Is what we're talking about is that's a perfect way to put it. Everything's magnified. What used to be just like, okay, you know, that's over there, it's whatever, we'll deal with it, is now, oh my goodness, it's everything in my life and I can't move past it and I can't think about anything besides this. It's really a good way to put it. One of the things that I've worked on with a lot of people that I speak with is talking about the level of accountability. Now, I want to ask you something here. And, you know, this question, it could, I guess, be a little bit of a deeper one here, but I want you to be honest as well. Do you find that with the pandemic and everything you just talked about, how you could turn off your camera whenever, you don't have to dress up, you don't have to look presentable, you could do this or that, that there's really a level, a lesser level of accountability for people today? And because of that lesser level of accountability, do you find that it really has a pretty negative impact on people's mental health in dealing with all this?
I think the accountability, Scott, has gone to two extremes. So one, I think, is the end that you're talking about, where you're not accountable, where things don't have to be on all the time. There also, I have seen other extremes where supervisors, managers, people in positions of decision making are really expecting now their employees to be available 24/7. I have seen individuals where the email system or their work login is somehow monitored. And so if your screen, let's say if you take a lunch, for example, but you forget to clock yourself out, your screen will then notify someone that you have been inactive for X amount of time. So that is creating an incredible amount of stress for a lot of individuals. And I see people that are kind of going on two opposite ends of the spectrum, where one, they're either really not engaging in work at all or very minimally, or they're working nonstop and there is no break for them between their work life and their personal life. And even for their notification system within their brain, they're working out of their living room and then they're supposed to be relaxing in their living room, which is now turned into their workspace. Whereas before the pandemic, they would get into their car, hop on the train, whatever it may be, get into the office, and then when they were coming home, the brain was signaled, okay, we're done work for the day. We don't have to think about that. That part is closed, and now we're going to enter our environment that's relaxing and supportive. And it's all mixed up together.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, I think anybody could say for this, for the past 2 years, that whole home workspace. It's funny though, because I remember years ago, and I have to say years ago now because we're plural when it comes to this pandemic, but everyone used to say, oh, the dream is to work from home. I want to wake up in the morning. I want to be in my PJs. I want to do whatever I want. I don't want to go into work. That sounded like the dream. Everybody wanted to do that. If you did that, people looked at you like, bruh, this is the guy. He's got the life, right? But now that people have been forced to do that and are still in that position, it's shifted so many things. I mean, we could have a whole show just based off of that. But what I want to ask you in addition to that is, so we talk about the workspace impact, right? How now there's no difference between my supportive and, you know, comfortable environment and where I got to listen to calls and deal with a lot of stress. What have you seen the impact is like on your everyday person who's working now from home every single day and now doesn't have that space, that safe space, so to speak? What is that doing to a person's mind and psyche?
Well, two things are happening as well. So when you talk about kind of pre-pandemic, the dream team was the people that worked at home. That, I think, was under the belief that there also wasn't another adult also trying to work from home, and there also wasn't children trying to do virtual schooling, and there was also a flexibility to go out and meet people for lunch and do things like that. Now, that has certainly lessened up. However, in the beginning of the pandemic, it was either multiple people trying to log in, have multiple devices, find multiple workspaces that don't interrupt the other one, or it was people in complete isolation. So either one of that is going to create an incredible amount of stress, and I think it's going to lead for many people to an increase in anxiety, an increase in depression. There's a lot of people we see come into the practice that say, I've never had these feelings before, but my heart won't stop racing and I don't know what to do about it and I don't know where it's coming from. And really what we can attribute to is this chronic stress now that people have been under. So it's like, you know, just dripping water into a bowl that eventually overflows.
I love that. That's a great analogy, a great way to put it, because that's something that we can all relate to right now. And I think one of the good things, and it, you know, there have been some good things that have come from this pandemic. I'm not going to be, you know, a negative Nelly and say everything's been terrible and nothing's been good. No, there's some good stuff that comes from it. And I think one of the good things now is kind of like what you said there. Somebody comes in and says, my heart can't stop beating. It won't stop racing, right? Whereas before, people would have probably just said, you know, whatever, we're not going to pay attention to it. But now you have no choice but to pay attention to it. So now people, I feel like, are more willing to talk about it and are more willing to maybe seek the help that they might need and be along that path. So on kind of piggybacking off of that and what you just said, let me ask you this. When we're talking about all the different feelings that are going on right now, all the different challenges, so many people suffering with forms of depression, anxiety, whatever it might be, if you were to say to them, what is the first step? What is the very first step once you start to notice these symptoms and when you're feeling this way, what is the first thing that they should do?
One of the first things I recommend to all of my clients when they're really wanting to understand what's happening for them is slow it down. We are in such a fast-paced society. Everything is go, go, go. Big, better, best. Can't get enough. Comparison to others. Whatever is happening for you, let's slow it down and really look closely at two things. One, what is working well for us and where are the areas, the relationships, the places, the things that make us feel good, and what are the things that aren't? So slow it down and really take an examination of, okay, maybe my anxiety is really increasing because every night before I go to bed, I'm in bed on my phone or on my computer for 2 hours. That's not going to be helpful to you. So slow it down and just take a look at, are there very small yet significant changes that I can make independently on my own? Because sometimes therapy is helpful and sometimes people can really get the support and changes that they need before they even come into therapy. So slow it down and look at what is working for you. If I had a really good day last week, why? What was happening? What contributed to that good day? And are those things that I can replicate tomorrow? Or if I had a really, really rough day last week, why? What's happening? And can I mitigate or eliminate those risk factors?
I love that. I think that is a great first piece of advice to have to give to people. And I think it's something that is so simple yet is absolutely essential in today's day and age, especially like you said, everything's big, better, best. Got to be go, 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 go. If you're not going, then you're going behind. You know, that is something that I see so incredibly often, especially with the younger generation. You know, I'm 25 years old. I see that a lot with people my age, and it just creates this never-ending cycle of I'm never enough. And then once we get that narrative in our head that nothing I ever do is enough, so I guess I'm never enough, so I guess what's the point? I guess who cares? And we already know where that negative self-talk's going to lead. That's going to put us down into being more susceptible to depression and other things like that. So I think what's interesting too, and I want to go on off of this a little bit here, is I know for myself, I'm a huge proponent. It's something that's helped me a lot. And I've worked with a lot of therapists and clinicians who are big advocates for it, is CBT, you know, the whole cognitive behavioral therapy, the idea that our thoughts drive our feelings, which drive our behaviors, and our behaviors and our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors are all connected, right? Now, I think what's interesting to note is what you said there is saying, what made it a good day? Why was today good? What can I do differently? What should be different? I love that idea of challenging the norm, whether it's in our own mind with a thought, as we know with CBT is, I'm challenging, why am I thinking this way? Or whether you're just observing your day from an outsider perspective, saying, okay, today was good. Why is it? Let me write this down to replicate it and do the best that I can to make it happen again. And I think in today's day and age, people are so quick to just say, well, today was a good day. I hope tomorrow's good too, but I'm not going to do anything about it to make it that way. So I love that you brought that up, saying that it's really important to do that. Now, to go along with that, one of the things that I would like to ask you is when you're talking with people who have a hard time with kind of distinguishing the difference between their personal life and their work life. You know, thinking about those people who are go, go, go all the time, like we were talking about, the workaholics, so to speak. If you try to say to them, oh, slow it down, their response is, well, then I don't get paid, or then I don't get the new position, or then I don't get the new client, yada, yada, yada. So what do you say to somebody like that who would respond to you saying, slow it down, saying, no, my job doesn't allow that? What would you say to somebody who would bring that up to you?
Two things. One, how long is this sustainable for? And two, let's play the tape all the way through. When then do you get to slow it down? When you reach that next job or you secure that sale or your boss gives you a good review, then what happens next? Because now you just keep raising the bar for what people can expect from you. If you are constantly available to other people, let's say if you're in a position of problem solving, project management, sales, those are all very common positions where people will reach out to you all hours of the day. If you're always answering your phone, that's the standard you're setting for other people. I'm always available, no matter what's going on. So when does that end? And when there's a period of time when you don't want to be available, let's say you're having a new baby, let's say someone's dying, let's say you're in Europe on an amazing vacation, then what happens when you don't answer the phone? What happens to you? What happens to your person that's calling? How does that relationship change? So yes, it may feel good temporarily, but what's the big picture here?
I absolutely love that. That is something that so many people need to, I think, really take a hold of and grasp, because you're so right, the sustainability factor of it. I mean, I think a lot of times too, when people are young and they're very ambitious, you know, you're working a ton of hours. That's what they say, your 20s and sometimes your 30s are for. You work it all out, so then in your 40s you can, you know, sip and do whatever you want and only have to come in every now and again. And I definitely understand that. And we're not saying that you don't have to work. We obviously get that. But I love that we're bringing up the point here that you gotta take some time to yourself. You gotta establish that boundary, because otherwise people are just gonna keep taking and taking and taking and taking and taking until there's absolutely nothing left of you. And then when there's nothing left of you, what good are you to anybody, or what good are you to yourself more than that, right? So I think that's a really important point. I love that. And one of the things that I would love to ask you about a little bit more here, we've got a few more minutes before our next break so we could really dive into this. I love what you said there. Let's play this all the way through. You know, finish the script. You know, let's see what happens here. And I hear this a lot when we're talking to different therapists. They bring it up often. And I think it's a really great technique to just get our mind to really go in that direction and play this through so we're not totally short-term, focus on right here, right now, but we're giving ourselves some opportunity to, all right, well, what about this as well? So when you say play this all the way through, can you elaborate a little bit more on what that conversation would look like and what you would say to somebody who maybe needs to heed this advice?
Yes, it's really a common problem-solving technique that you can apply to so many situations. So if someone says, well, what happens if I interview for this job and don't get it, and they end up stopping there, I don't get the job, oh my goodness, I'll feel like a failure, this will be horrible. What if I don't get it? What if I don't get it? What if I don't get it? And so my response is, well, let's answer the question. Play the tape all the way through. What if you don't get the job? Then what are your next steps? It's not that you don't get the job and then the earth swallows you up into some sinkhole and you disappear. There's so much more that's coming after that. Or if I am always answering the phone, okay, then play the tape all the way through. When does that end? What does your quality of life look like? What if you answer the phone all hours of the night for the first 10 years of your career, and then you no longer want to do that? People are going to be upset that you're changing, and it may be really hard for you to exert that boundary 10 years down the road, where maybe you could do it now with mild discomfort as opposed to major discomfort 10 years down the road. So what we're really looking at when we play the tape all the way through is, keep asking yourself, well, why? Well, then what's next and what happens? You know, those five questions, who, what, when, where, why, and how, we can also throw in there. Those are really helpful in playing the tape all the way through. But it's really, if we're being fixated on a fear, let's address the fear. What are you going to do? What are your choices? And let's play it all the way through.
Absolutely love it, Bryn. You're speaking my language out here so much. And I hope for all the listeners out here that you're taking notes and you're paying attention, because you're pretty much getting yourself a free therapy right now. So I hope everybody's paying attention to it and taking some notes before we get started on our weekend out here in Philly or wherever it is that you're listening to us. So we've got 2 minutes real quick before our next break. Now, before we go to that, I want to ask you one other thing real quick here. I want to talk about the process of building new neural pathways and understanding how that takes some time. And, you know, building those synaptic connections is really something that takes a lot of effort and energy. So my question to you would be, let's say somebody has for 20 years been in their workspace, who's done the same thing all the time and who's been so, you know, negative to themselves, very detrimental to their mental health in a lot of ways, and has built up that pattern over time. As we know, trying to break those old habits and create new ones is really a difficult process. So what would you say to somebody who maybe is coming to you for the first time, aware of what's going on, but doesn't know how to start that process of building new habits and learning to be, you know, kind to themselves and learning to speak positively to themselves? So what would you say would be the first step to learning to build those new neural pathways for someone like that?
I know that I'm significantly older than you, but I'm still going to ask you this question anyway. Have you ever seen the movie What About Bob?
I've heard about What About Bob, but I have not actually seen it myself.
Okay. You need to watch it. It's an absolutely amazing movie. A lot of humor, but a lot of good lessons in it as well. So in this movie, What About Bob, Richard Dreyfuss is a psychiatrist who writes a book all about baby steps. My response to someone who doesn't know where to start is, let's break it down. You've already made the decision to come into therapy. That, how did you get here? That took a lot of courage. that took a lot of your time, that took a lot of commitment and belief in yourself that you want things to be different and that you can get things to be different, that you can accomplish your goals. So let's say you want to maybe just not be, decrease your frustration, right? Okay. So let's then maybe look and see, are there things in your life that are supporting frustration? And can we make one small change in that on a very consistent basis? In my practice, when we have clients come in, we're very clear with them that our goal is not for you to be dependent upon therapy. That really where the magic happens is what you do for all those other hours that you're outside of the therapy room. And we're going to support you in that change by giving you very specific homework, probably every session, every other session, at least in the beginning, to keep you focused and to support you in creating change that is sustainable, that can happen, and that is doable.
Absolutely. Amen to everything you just said, Bryn. So for everybody, we're going to be back in a moment after these quick commercial breaks. Stay tuned. We got our last part of the show coming up. We're going to get Bryn with some really good questions here. We're looking forward to it. Everyone, we'll see you in a moment. Find Yourself Boxes was created to foster the connection between a person and those in life who may be working through mental health challenges by providing curated and customizable boxes filled with research-backed wellness products that promote healing. Coupling personal experience with professional mental health guidance, Find Yourself Boxes meets people where they are on their journey. Wellness doesn't look the same for every person, and these products are packaged together to touch various aspects of our wellness spectrum. Find your healing with Find Yourself Boxes at findyourselfboxes.com, and you can get 20% off your first purchase. Does the pandemic have your hair looking a little funky? Are people stopping and staring and glancing at you as you walk down the street? Folks, come on now. Hair salons, they've been open for a while. It's time to get your hair cut. You've definitely been procrastinating. I know my producer has. And when you do it, you should head to Hair and Visions in Ottsville, PA. Hair and Visions is open Tuesday through Saturday. They specialize in coloring and also offer keratin treatments that give your hair a smooth finish. Hair and Visions offers haircuts for all ages, so you can bring the whole family. Schedule your appointment today by calling 610-847-8894. Again, that is 610-847-8894. And tell them that Scotty P and Health Coach Ev sent you.
If you're looking to get more TMS, ketamine, and Spravato patients, then 7-Figure Psych is for you. Beyond Marketing's flagship 7-Figure Psych business development and marketing system helps mental health professionals to attract, schedule, and convert new patients into care. Join a community of like-minded business professionals and automate your entire online presence. Visit these guys at 7figurepsych.com. That's the number 7figurepsych.com. Guys, cancer is a word that most of us know all too well. And as is the case for so many other conditions, Western medicine is a miraculous yet incomplete form of treatment for those who are suffering. But what if there was a place in our community that helped meet the many other needs for cancer patients? Well, that's exactly what my aunt, Corinne Sikora, envisioned. And now you can help make that vision come to life. The Corinne Sikora Wellness and Support Center is designed to be a comforting space for all cancer patients across Bucks County. This center will help these individuals meet their emotional, social, physical, and lifestyle needs that are essential pieces of one's healing journey. Because of people like you, this center will be able to offer a multitude of completely free services to local patients and their families. A large vision like this needs all the support it can get, and you can help today. Go to CorinneSikoraCenter.org and click the donate button. That is CorinneSikoraCenter.org. S-I-K-O-R-A, Corinne Sikora, center.org, and click the donate button.
Go shawty. Yeah, come on now. It's like we're in a club here. 50 might not be here, but we do have two quarters in the club here too. Come on, let's go, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us again with the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your host Scotty P and Ev. Shout out to my producer. I call him Wes from the future, but he's playing songs from throwbacks out here. Thank you so much, Wes. We appreciate it. You're getting me hype and hyphy up here in the studio. I'm loving it. So for anybody who's just joining us, thank you so much again for tuning in to the Friday Mental Health Power Hour with your hosts, Scotty P and Ev. We really appreciate it. We really got a great episode here today. We have an amazing guest named Bryn Sicipio. She's just rocking it. She's rolling it. She's doing all kinds of great stuff out here today. She's just dishing out knowledge for any of the listeners to take and apply their lives right now. So this is the last part of our show. for anybody who's unfamiliar about how we do things, part number one, we kind of give an introduction, we just talk chit-chat, yada, yada, yada. Part number two, we really focus on that interviewing style, as well as we do with part number three. And then at the end, the last 2 minutes or so, I shut it down with an inspiring little message that you can take away and really apply to your weekend as you get about it, right? Okay? So, Bryn, thank you so much for a couple things. A, being on the show. B, tolerating me jamming out to my early 2000s hits as we start here. I love it.
The halftime show was admittedly my favorite part of the Super Bowl, and all of my friends that I talked to about it said that we knew every single word except for that young kid Kendrick Lamar.
You know, that's I love to hear that, the young kid Kendrick Lamar, and now the young kids nowadays are calling him an old man, so I'm just like, bro, I don't know where I fit in. That's awesome. Well, Bryn, you've been an amazing guest so far. We're looking forward to this last segment here, and I really think to the listener out there, you're really in for a treat for this last segment, as you've been in for a treat for the whole first two segments as well, if you've been listening. So for anybody who's unaware, just some quick background knowledge again on Bryn as is followed. So Bryn Sicipio, she is a licensed therapist, she's a former parole officer, and she's a dedicated business owner. So AKA, she pretty much does it all. Her practice's motto is do the work, which speaks directly to her belief that valuable change requires hard work. Get that tatted on your forehead right there to remember it. Let's go. That's some important stuff there. All right, Bryn. So I've really been hitting you hard with a lot of different questions. I appreciate you being such a good sport about it and just rocking them with great answers. Really have done an amazing job. So one of the things that I want to kind of start this segment with is I really want to focus on the stigma that is surrounding going to therapy. I know for what I do, I speak to all kinds of people, but today particularly, I spoke to a group of kids in fifth grade. I went to their school. I was speaking to the students there, and we talked about therapy, talked about how it's a great option for people. But then I had a multitude of kids, particularly boys, who said, hey, you know, I know that's a really good thing, Scott, but, you know, I feel like if I do that, I'm weak. I feel like there's something wrong with me. I feel like I'm soft. I feel like that's not okay to do, especially as a man. Now, I want to address this stigma because, A, I mean, it's 2022, y'all. We need to break this and get out of it. But besides that, what do you see in your practice with this stigma? And what do you think is the best thing that you could say to someone who is reluctant based off of that stigma?
I agree with you that definitely this stigma should be ending well before 2022. It should have ended, but here we are. So we have to approach it and we have to deal with it. A couple of things I would say. One is that if you think about some of the healthiest individuals in your life, chances are they've probably gone to therapy at some point. There's a reason why they are able to support themselves, have healthy boundaries, regulate their emotions, express themselves clearly and directly, be honest in all the relationships, because they've been practicing it. They've been doing the work. So there's a strong chance that all of the successful, well-balanced, healthy people in your life have gone to therapy. The other thing that I would say is that there is a difference, and I think this is important. There's a difference when you are participating in therapy between privacy versus secrecy, and that your experience in therapy absolutely can be private. It does not have to be a secret. When I think of secrecy, I think two things. One, that there may be an element of harm, meaning that we have to keep this a secret because something harmful is happening or something harmful could or did happen. Or an element of shame, that I have to keep this a secret because it means I'm not good on the inside or something bad is bad about me. So if you have people that you trust in your life that you know are consistently come through for you, they're healthy, trustworthy relationships, secrecy doesn't need to be and really shouldn't be a part of those relationships. On the other hand, you are absolutely entitled to your privacy. And if you decide to engage in therapy, this is not something you need to make a TikTok video about.
Oh, man. I love that you just said that last part, Bryn. You have no idea. Because today, with all the TikTok, you can't do anything without posting a video about it. So I think that's great how you let everyone know, like, hey, look, you can go to this stuff, but you don't have to necessarily let everybody know and make a TikTok video. It's okay to just keep it, like, normal instead of being, yeah, all over the place. So I love that. I think that is awesome what you said. And I think that's really important for people to grasp a hold of, like saying, hey, look, you know, there's a difference between privacy and secrecy. I absolutely love that. I'm writing that down as we speak because I'm trying to remember that for myself to use if I have your permission. Absolutely, of course. But
you can absolutely use it. And unfortunately, in this age of social media and constant sharing, which to me really means no boundaries, that younger people often feel very compelled to overshare. And therefore, when things feel private and they're not sharing about it, there's a lot of confusion. Should I be sharing about this? Or they share about something that is private, and then there's a backlash. Either they feel bad that they did it, or they get negative peer responses, or they get in trouble by authority figures, all kinds of different things. So there's a lot of confusion, I think, with younger people growing up because of the influence of social media. A lot of them are in these environments. Sometimes it's even within their own families or within their own peer groups that they have to share everything. And you absolutely do not. You are absolutely entitled to your privacy.
Yeah, I love that you said that. And I know I keep saying I love that you said that to everything, but it's really true. I love everything that you're saying. You know, I mean, everything that you're saying, I'm just like, oh, love this. You're writing this down. I say this all the time. So we're vibing out here. We're absolutely vibing. I appreciate it. And I think this message is so valuable for the listeners. I hope the listeners are taking this and you're eating it up with a spoon and a fork and a knife all together, because this is really valuable stuff. So one of the things, too, that I see a lot and that I've started to hear a lot, especially when I go to certain areas where maybe mental health is not as accepted or as talked about, is I run into this issue. And I would love to hear your opinion on this. People say, oh, yeah, that's great, Scott. I would totally go to a therapist, but A, I don't have access to one. B, I can't afford it. Or C, everyone who I try to talk to or try to find, they've got a waiting list 6 months long. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. And part of me is like, hey, look, man, these people are overworked. You can't expect them to be able to take on everyone because they got to think about their own mental health as well. But then there's another part of me that realizes, man, there is a serious shortage in this country. Mm-hmm. There is not a ton of super easy access depending upon the area you're at. So I'd love to hear, right, since you have your own practice, what are your thoughts on this situation and what I just said?
This is one of those silver linings that have occurred in the pandemic where therapists who never ever thought of providing telehealth, so that is therapy sessions over a computer using a Zoom-like type format where you can see one another but you're not in the same space, that therapists who have never even thought of that are doing that primarily right now. So the silver lining here is that there has been a great increase in access, because people now don't have to drive. You're not limited to just the therapist that is in your immediate local area. Certain things that can be important for people to understand as a result of that is your search engine may bring up someone in your immediate local area. However, when you're looking at working with someone who's licensed marriage and family therapist, licensed professional counselor, licensed clinical social worker, they can treat anyone in their state. So maybe if you live in a rural area, let's say you live up in the Poconos, right? And there's maybe not a lot of therapists that are up there. Well, you can search for someone in Pittsburgh, or you can search for someone in Harrisburg, or you can search for someone in the Philadelphia area. And if you are open and flexible to meet with them over the computer, that can really increase the chances of someone being available to you. Recently, there was a law that was passed where now licensed psychologists have reciprocity and can support clients in, I think it's 26 different states. So that really opens up a lot of availability as well. So again, I would just be clear about how you're looking for people. There's different search engines in addition to Google where you can find therapists. Psychology Today, goodtherapy.com is another one. Type in different zip codes of areas that seem to be maybe more populated if you're living in a rural area, or maybe just be a little bit further out from where you actually are. And again, like, be flexible that seeing someone over the computer is actually just as effective as seeing someone in person and may get you in sooner than, you know, putting on a wait list or not getting in at all.
I think that's great. And that is one of the silver linings. You're so right now with telehealth and all that that's able to happen. Instead of having to drive maybe an hour to go see someone, you can do it right from your screen, which is so incredibly powerful. And I'm so glad to hear that a lot of more people are offering that now, because it really can make a difference in somebody's life more than we can ever imagine. It's just getting the idea in their head that, hey, maybe therapy's not as bad as everyone says. It's just talking. Maybe I can do this. Maybe this does work for me. And planting that seed is super, super, super valuable. Now, one of the things that kind of goes along with this, and I want to ask you another question that I think is something I hear all the time that I would love to hear your opinion on as well, is we know the idea that everyone's recovery process is different. You know, no two recovery processes are exactly the same because everyone's condition is different in some type of way. Therefore, the recovery is unique to them. Now, one of the things that I hear about a lot is people will say, Scott, when do I know it's time to go on medication? When is it time to maybe start an SSRI? When is it time to go that route? How long do I have to wait? Is this something that really works for me? So for someone who's asking these types of questions, what would you say to them if they're kind of like, I'm skeptical about medication. Is that something that would actually work for me or not? What would you say to someone who's considering this and when you think is the right time for them to go about choosing to do that?
First, having a clear assessment as to what exactly is happening is what's most important, because maybe it's not medication, maybe it's a change in lifestyle. So for example, let's take someone who's working third shift. They're going to have different challenges than someone who works Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Working third shift is not supportive of your mental health. It's not supportive of mental wellness. It goes against your circadian rhythm and everything that we are programmed to do naturally. So first I would look at, you know, what's happening and get a very clear picture as to exactly what your challenges are, what your experiences are, and what's your environment like. The second thing that I share with individuals is that medication can be a lifelong support or it can be temporary. So sometimes individuals are really challenged in implementing the coping skills that we're working on in therapy. They're really struggling with how to complete the homework. And it's because their symptoms are so strong and so present. So medication might be helpful in calming down the symptoms so they can build the coping skills, so they can do the homework, do the work, right? And then they may be able to come off the medication once those skills are really strong and in place. There's a lot of different wonderful medications out there. Certainly, if you're working with a therapist, they should have some very trusted providers, not just a whatever doctor that's going to write a prescription out for anything. I also think it's important for a lot of individuals, they go to their primary care doctor as a first step. Primary care doctors are absolutely wonderful, and sometimes that's where some people may end in their medication journey, but really be open to working with a psychiatrist who very clearly knows mental health, because that is not your primary care doctor.
Amen, amen, amen to everything that you just said, Bryn. And I can't believe I have to say it, but we're almost out of time. This has been such an amazing episode. I wish that we could go on for a couple more hours to give the listeners so much to, you know, just jot down and really chew on for the rest of their weekend. But I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Now, before we wrap things up, I would love to give you a chance to give a shout out for where people can find you via email, website, phone number, your name of your practice, whatever it is. So where can people find you at?
They can go to our website, bcatherapy.com. We also have a pretty active and regularly posting on our Instagram page. You can search BCA Therapy there, or my name, Bryn Sisipio, both will come up. And we also have a pretty active Facebook page.
Awesome. So we're going to make sure that we get that out for everyone so everyone can check out Bryn Sisipio. So Bryn, thank you so much again for being on the show. Really appreciate it. You gave some amazing answers, some amazing insights, just some awesome stuff for our listeners to be able to really hold on to. And I'm so thankful for it. I really, really appreciate you having you on today.
Thank you. This has really been wonderful. And I really hope it's helpful to one person listening or to a million people listening.
Absolutely. I hope we get it a million as well. So for anybody who's unfamiliar about how the show works, the last minute or so here, I'm just going to wrap things up to give you something to start your weekend on a positive note. So everyone, today we had a licensed therapist on our show. And what did we hear? We talked about the importance of mental health, acknowledging it, different steps that we can take, different strategies we can do, and how it's never too late to get started. No matter how old, how young, what your situation is, what you haven't happened in your life, what has, none of that matters. It's never too late to start. So as you go into your weekend today, I want you to understand something. I want you to know that mental health is just as important as anything else that you're gonna do throughout your day. It's just as important as your physical health. It's just as important as talking to your spouse, your significant other. It's just as important your relationship with the Lord. Whatever it is, mental health is right up there with all of that. Because when we've got ourselves mentally right, we're going to be in the right state of mind to where we're going to look at our life through a different lens, right? And that's my whole tagline, is navigating life through the lens of hope. That's what we're trying to do. And when we go to therapy, when we seek out those who can talk about these things, when we go on medication, when we find new strategies and whatever it is, when we put in this work for our mental health, we're going to see changes. And when we start to see those changes, that's when we're really going to be able to grasp all the good things that life has for us in this moment. Okay, but we can't do that unless we first put in the work. Just like Bryn's tagline, kind of, or not tagline, what her motto is for her organization, for her business, is put in the work, do the work. That's what you have to do in your life. Because you might be looking at your life right now and say, Scott, I hate it. I don't like a single thing about myself. I don't like a single thing that's going on. I am miserable beyond belief. You can't even imagine it. And I understand what that feels like. I remember what it's like to be in that place. But to the person who's thinking that right now, I will say this to you. A, it's temporary. You've got to remember that what you're going through right now is a temporary moment in your life and it is not permanent. And I hear somewhere in the peanut gallery saying, well, Scott, it's been 2 years. What do you mean it's temporary? Yeah, it's been 2 years. That doesn't mean it's going to be two more. You can't predict the future. But we can help make the future more accommodating to what we want if we're putting in the work to work on ourselves and get the help that we need, whatever that looks like for you. And so I hope everyone can take something from that today. I really appreciate everyone tuning in. Thanks again to our guest, Bryn Sicipio. I really appreciate you all. We're going to end things with Dr. Dre, D-R-E. Come on, let's go. We in the mix. We in the building. My producer, Wes from the Future, is out here doing it big. Thank you so much, everyone. Join us again next Friday at 6 p.m. It's just going to be me again, but we're going to have a good time. We're going to be doing it big. Check us out, everyone. Thank you so much. WWDBAM.com. Watch the replay. Watch all of our different podcasts. We appreciate it. Peace out, everyone. Have a good one.